Good morning. Are we ready to learn something today? Yes? Oh, that's a good yes. That was great. Yes. Very good. Gideon, this is our theme this morning, the biography of a man who was something like you and I and me. Gideon, a Jewish man, common man, if you know the story, oppressed by a foreign power. And I maybe you don't know the historical context, but it's very relevant to us here in the United States, and actually in many parts of the world where people struggle in life in many ways. Actually, if you want to think about, you are made of spirit. There's a verse in Thessalonians where it says, we are sanctified in spirit. What's the next word? Soul. The next word? Body. And if we wanted, we could, with some study, understand that there are sins of the spirit, sins that people commit that are done in the spirit of a man who is stubborn or proud, or witchcraft, which could lead to witchcraft. And stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. So that's not our message, but I want to introduce the theme to you, that there are sins of the soul and of the mind. In our imaginations, we could, in Genesis 6, God saw that the imaginations of man were evil continually. So that's a function of our mind. We have memory, we have will, we have knowledge, we have understanding. All of it's in the soul, in our DNA, our makeup as people. We have the sins of our soul. And then there are sins of the body. Your physical body lead you in sins of the soul and of the spirit. Let's say a woman is attractive, so she may be very much occupied with her appearance and her body, and behind it is pride, for example. So alcoholism, the body, drug addiction, the body, any kind of physiological addictions, there can be the we could call them the sins of the body. The desire to get a lot of money fast, gambling, for example, is it a sin? Well, what's behind it? The lack of faith, not the presence of God, but the presence of my own self-interest. So these are sins that we live in, that we have a sin nature, and that we live in a world, and this is another part, we can put here, sins, and then another word, world, and this is the system of life without the Spirit of God. It's called 1 Corinthians 2, the spirit of the world. There's also the wisdom of the world. And there is the fashion of the world. So we have the world system, which is very much feeding our sin nature. So these go together. Your sin nature and the world, they go together. The end game is, like with any sin, is death. It leads us to problems, misery, difficulties, oppression. We're being controlled by something else, not God, but we are controlled by our sin nature. And the world is feeding this and telling you deserve this. You should have this. This will make you happy. This will satisfy you. If you have this, you'll be fully a satisfied person. But then you lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50, verse 11. This you will have of my hand, you will lie down in sorrow. How many of you understand what that is? How many of you are sinners here today? Okay, how many of you understand what I am saying? Am I right or wrong? I mean, is there sin in the world and in us? And that we are celebrating something very unique this morning that the world does not have. The world has the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's 1 John chapter 2. I'm not going to write that down, but I want you to understand that there's like three very powerful things. Religion that is in the world. There is sex, very powerful thing in the world. And there is money that is very powerful in the world. All three of them appeal to your sin nature. Religion, because I'm guilty. Sex, because of I'm lustful. Money, because I'm covetous. I want, and so on. So those are separate. Those are not messages. I'm not preaching any one of those things we could teach about. And I know you're hungry to learn. I think that's why you're here today, because you would like to learn. And by the way, Bible school starts tomorrow night. And you can take a course or take a full load and learn these things. This is a fantastic thing. But our theme today is that Gideon is representing a person who has it in his heart to have God in his life, but he's struggling because these things are powerful in life. And there are Christians that are struggling and they don't feel that there is power in their life. They don't feel like they have victory or they have power in their life. But Jesus, and this is important, that Jesus Christ came into the world to deliver us. I'll put down here two things. He wanted to deliver us from the penalty of sin, the penalty of it, and then number two, the power of sin. He wanted to change our life. He wanted to give us something that the world cannot give you. The world cannot change your life. Religion is there, but it will not change your life. This way, there's only one way your life can be changed, deeply and very really, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that did it, and he did it, and he paid a high price to do it. He paid for the penalty of our sin. Our sin is death. The penalty of sin is death and eternal separation from God. He paid the penalty, and then he gave us the power over it. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 13, and many other verses. So this is at the basis of our message today. I want to encourage you. It'll be encouraging as we read the text about Gideon. I realize that there are many, and I want to say American Christians, actually Christians everywhere around the world, that are something like Gideon in the story. And yet they wrestle with it. There's a problem, and they feel pushed down. They have a lot of anxiety. They have a real feeling of being defeated. They feel like the enemy is power. And this foreign power are called Midianites, and they were a tribe of people that were in Israel. We drew a map of Israel like this: Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan, the Dead Sea. The Midianites came in this area, and they oppressed the Jewish people. For 7 years, they were there. They controlled the highways. They were in control of the highways. They were taking the food from the Jewish people and feeding their donkeys and their camels. The Jewish people are starving. They are oppressed. They don't have the military means. They don't have the power. If they had obeyed God, they would have had the Midianites would not have succeeded. If they obeyed God, they would not have succeeded. But because they disobeyed and they were worshiping a pagan god called Baal, which is the god of fertility, which is very tempting. If I worship that god, I will have better crops. I have more children, more cows, sheep, camels. I'll have fertility in my life if I worship Baal. That's what they were. They were adopting the religion of the Aborigine people there. And the Jews were doing that. And so do we. We become like the world. We worry like the world. We're afraid like the world. We're oppressed like the world. We can't change our life like the world. We are lost like the world. And that cannot be. You are not of the world. You are not of the world. You are like Gideon. And we'll read that later today. Okay, you are not of the world. You have the Spirit of God. Okay, Pastor Shabelli is going to come up for a few minutes. So turn to your neighbor and just say, I hope the message will be good today. I do. I really hope it will. Let's pray for that.
I read a story this morning, and when we think about what's going on in this world today, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but this one little phrase really struck me. There it stands. What's this? What's it? Can you hold your Bible up or your telephone if you have one? Heaven and earth will pass away, but what? No, there it stands. Okay? People will come and people will go. But what? There it stands. Governments will come, governments will go, but I can't hear you. There it stands. There it stands. Persecution will come, big deal. And persecution will go, but there it stands. Opposition will come, opposition will go, but there it stands. There it stands. Trends will come and trends will go, but there it stands. And this is so key in our lives to realize that all kinds of things will come and all kinds of things will go, but heaven and earth will pass away, but my word is eternal. My word is forever. And we have a great opportunity to learn in Bible school. I think I said this morning we had 3,000 students taking Bible school around the world. And that's amazing. Can you imagine that, like, in this week and next week, over 3,000 people will sit down to learn the Bible? Hello? Some of you are a part of that 3,000. That's amazing. And even more of you could become part of that 3,000. It's incredible. We have such an opportunity. We are a most privileged country. Why? Number one, we've got a Bible. Amen? You know, many people not have a Bible. I sat down next to a woman in China one time, many, many years ago with my brother, and she was weeping, and I said, why are you weeping? And she says, because I am missing half of the New Testament, and I don't know what it says. Will I ever know what it says? Believe me, I gave her every Bible I had. I just said, here you go. You know, Bibles are everywhere in this country, but she did not know what the second part of the New Testament had to say at all, because she didn't have that. We are privileged as a country. Not only to be able to have a Bible, but to be able to read the Bible. And then to be able to proclaim the Bible, study the Bible, know the Bible. It's an eternal word. Everything's going to do what? Over. But what? There. What? What? There it stands. So when you consider Bible school, one course, two courses, all the courses, whatever it may be. It's what an opportunity to really learn something that is absolutely eternal, that will stand forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
We always get encouraged by Pastor Mark's love and his devotional life and faith. Wow, we love it. Thank you. So on the screen, if we put the iPad picture up there, there we go. I wonder if you understand that. What's that look like? Does that look like the man who drew that is mentally sound? Let's do it again here. There's a context for the text we're going to read from Judges chapter 6, and it's a historical context. If you take Israel, and we have here Egypt, and we actually have a geography, something like this, Dead Sea, then here, Red Sea. And the history is, I love it. I never leaves me. Once I learned it, it stuck with me my whole life. And that is, Egypt is like the world where they will keep you as slaves forever. Okay, they will keep you. The world doesn't want you to be free. World doesn't want you to have your own life. Pharaoh wants you for himself. And Pharaoh, in that way, is a type or a metaphor for Satan. So I want you, as Bible believers, and you're growing and you're learning, I really want you to take your faith seriously and learn, because you have the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, and he will teach you about these truths, these doctrines. And the world is a very real thing. The world, we are in the world, but not of it. We are in the world, but not of it. You know where that is? In John 17, when Jesus is saying to the Father, you're taking me out of the world. These we are leaving in the world. You are leaving these in the world. And keep them. I believe it's seven times Jesus says, keep them. Keep them. So we are in the world, but we are kept by God. We are kept by God. Did God answer the Son's prayer? Keep them. And he had 11 of them. He had 12. One was not of God. But the 11, he kept them. He kept them, and they were in the world, but not of it. I hope you could catch the meaning there. In a word, a fish in the Chesapeake is in the water and is of the water. It's like part of the water. A boat in the Chesapeake is in the water, but not in it like a fish is. A fish is breathing through the water, right? Through the gills of the fish. The boat is just in the water, but it's different. And so Noah's Ark was different. And Noah was different. And so are you, for you are born of God. And God is light and not darkness. But in the world, the darkness, the world does not comprehend the light, cannot get it, doesn't get it, because it has a different spirit. So you are of God. The text is about Israel. This is more than 100 years later. After they come out of Egypt, they are in the wilderness. And this is like, if we broke this down somehow, we have one part of the picture representing the world. The next part of the picture represents my flesh. This is natural. I need food. I need water. What? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? What? Can God take, does money grow on trees? Right? What? You think I can fly? What? Are you crazy? This is the spirit that's in the wilderness. When the Jews came out of Egypt, they faced reality, and it was very hard to live in a desert without food and water. Very hard. But it says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, that I led you on purpose into the wilderness so that you would learn not to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of my mouth. That's training. After you get saved, you need training. You and I need to learn how to live by faith and live by the word and by the spirit. But there's a third part to this picture, and this is the promised land. Promised land is the Christian victory. Promised land. This is when you can live in the land, and he lived here throughout the countryside on both sides of the Jordan River. The Jews were to live there, and they were to follow God, not the world, not Baal, the god for fertility, and the other god, Chemosh, Molech, those are various names, Ashtoreth. They were pagan gods. You cannot, if you live with those gods and worship those gods, it will be thorns in your eyes. Thorns in your eyes. That's like most sensitive part of your body, one of them, and to have a thorn in your eye is real bad. But that's what will happen to you. That's the context for Gideon. Gideon is living here in the Ephraim, in the area of Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, and the Midianites invaded and they oppressed the people for 7 years they were there. Let's read the text from, I think we can use the Amplified. We have that up, yes, on the screen. Verse, by the way, we have the Polish folks, maybe Polish folks, do you want to stand up for a second? I just want to tell the church. So we have, yes. Okay, thank you. So Pastor Tomek is a pastor of a church in Poland, and then his son. And is that your daughter? Yes, and your daughter. Okay, so Gabriel and Yulia, is it Yulia? Okay. All right, so I'm a little confused about all the names and so on. But they came for, the three came for Bible school. All right, so if you can, they came for Bible college. Isn't that beautiful? It's such an honor for people to come and learn the word because of the body of Christ, because of the spirit of God, like was with Gideon. It's the same thing. It's a similar story. Like, who are we? Then a couple of Finns came. If you're from Finland and you came for Bible school, would you stand up? So that's Mishke and Sani. Okay, good. Yeah, great. And then if you came for Bible school from another place, would you stand up? Maybe Harrisburg, I know. There's one. Okay, Virginia. Great. Okay, upstate New York, Harrisburg, Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio. That's beautiful. And if in Baltimore you're going to Bible college, you want to stand up, go ahead. From Baltimore. Great. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I could make this message really short by simply saying that the world is oppressive, like the Midianites, and they don't want you to have your life. They don't want you to have your life. They, if you look at the screen, they want you to be defeated. They want you to go back to Egypt to be, they don't want you to be free in the spirit. They don't want you to have authority in your soul. They don't want you to be free from your bad habits. They don't want you to have courage. They don't want you to have faith. They don't want you to hear from God. They don't want you to have any success as we can have, like Jesus had success. They don't mind if Cain builds a city, or there's a civilization, or there's Egypt building pyramids. They don't mind that. That's fine. But they don't want you to have a spirit-filled, victorious life, victorious over sin, over the devil, and over death. And they don't want you to have a message to tell people that are under them. They want to say, you are a slave, you are a slave, you have no choice. Your life is, you stay in your place. They stay down, stay down, stay down, get down there. Stay down. It's like talking to a dog. Down. Hey, get down. Hey, you don't have any place. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. I've heard that so much. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. But no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We've got to get this in our hearts. Because when Jesus came, he said, you can do all things. Well, Paul said it. You're going to do all things through me. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will be like an angel. You will be a powerful servant. You will be free from your own self. You'll be liberated from your self-consciousness, from the awareness of your weakness, your inbuilt inferiority, your thing that puts you down, what tribe you came from, what your family name is, who you are, what your history is, how bad you are, what your father said to you when you were in school. You'll amount to nothing. You'll be nothing. You'll go to prison one day. One time I read that in a Chuck Colson. He said, in the prison, they said, how many of you men, the prisoners, how many of you men, your father told you one day you would end up in prison? And he said, all the hands went up. All the hands went up. Wow. Great message, Dad. Thank you very much. You told me I'll go to prison, and I just fulfilled that. How did that happen? How did that happen? What kind of gospel is that? What kind of message, what kind of investment goes into a son when you bury him with accusation and guilt and failure, and you tell him he's a nobody? What do you think? That's good? That's like, this is what Gideon is struggling with. And we want to say, listen, we want to say, and it's not me, it's what the Lord wants to say, the Holy Spirit wants to say to us through these scriptures, that your life is a gift from God. And God made you. And God uses us. And he wants our hearts and our ears and to hear him. Because he's a lot better than what Pharaoh will say, than what my flesh will say. Look up at the screen. What Pharaoh will say, you're never leaving Egypt. Get it out of your head. You're never leaving Egypt. Moses, you can take a hike. Get out of here. I never want to see you again. And at the end, remember, Pharaoh said that to Moses. I never want to see you. And Moses said, you're right. You're never going to see me again. Wow. The devil is real. The devil steals lives. The devil steals our future. The devil steals our hearts. He steals our joy, our peace, our love. He steals our, he's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. He's a thief. Do you think the United States of America, that the devil would like to steal from us what we have? And I don't only mean, I've lived in four countries. I've traveled a lot in the Soviet Union. I've seen a lot of things. I've been in many places. And I'm just telling you, it's not just politics is part of it, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a real enemy, and he wants to put you down. And steal your food, and steal your family, steal your life. He wants to destroy us. Okay, so let's go to the text. Judges 6, verse 1. But the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And this was in this area here. This is like an area where they invaded Ephraim. Okay. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the Israelites made themselves the dens, which are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. I was in Albania one time, and one of our disciples, he told me the story about his mother. His mother's her father was a Italian who owned orchards in Albania. The communists came after World War II and stole all the orchard and killed him, murdered him, and took over all the property. And Francesco's mother had to live in a cave in a mountain in Albania. Like her teenage years, she grew up there in a cave. And I talked to her. I was curious about how do you live in a cave? Like, where do you get the water and the food? And how do you live there? She said, we did. And I was heartbroken because my dad was murdered. And they stole everything. Of course they did. Of course they did. They stole everything. And I tried to steal her life. And her son became a believer. He lives in Florida now, Francesco. He's a friend. He's a precious guy. But I want to say this. This is not a joke. In verse 2, these people were being oppressed. Just like the Lord said, if you don't obey me, this is what will happen. In America, we have a similar thing. But we are the salt of the earth. We are the Christian. You got to get ready for what's coming our way. You have to be ready to have the Spirit of God in your heart, in your life. We have to be ready for where things can go. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're in very troubled times. The best thing to do is to be a spiritual person, to be born of God. But don't stop there. Grow. Keep going. Believe. Trust. Have a lot of joy. Be around a good group of happy, spirit-filled Christian people that are learning and growing, and you'll be fine. But you also have to learn to pray. You have to learn to say no to certain things. You have to learn how to organize your life. Just don't live like natural, like on purpose, do certain things. We said Wednesday night, the more intense the environment, the more important the equipment is for survival. I mean, the more intense the environment, like let's say a firefighter has to have good equipment if he's going into a burning building. If a polar bear went to Mexico, that polar bear would not survive. Unless it has some way to accommodate the environment. And a scuba diver, he's got to have the equipment. That's his survival. A paratrooper jumping out of a plane, he has to have a parachute. If you don't have one, it's over. And a Christian living in this world, we need to learn what we have for equipment. We have a shield of faith, we have the breastplate, we have the girdle, we have the shoes. Not just like pretty shoes. They got to be shoes that work. It's got to work. The equipment have to accommodate our situation. And when we read about Gideon, we read he's really down. Okay, he's really in a hard place. Read it with me, verse 3. Where whenever Israel had sown their seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came up against them because they wanted food, right? They would encamp against them and destroy the crops as far as Gaza and leave no nourishment for Israel, no ox or sheep or donkey. So we've got actually way over here. This is Gaza over here. This is, they were just rampaging the country for food. They came up with their cattle, verse 5, and their tents, and they came like locusts from multitude. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so they wasted the land as they entered it. Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the Israelites cried to the Lord. And when they cried to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites who said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." So what is the prophet saying? The prophet is saying, remember, you were in Egypt, and the Lord brought you out of Egypt. So this is more than 100 years earlier. Up on our screen there, you can see they came out of Egypt, and the Lord is saying, I want you to remember that. I don't remember it. Our fathers told us about it, but it's not my focus. I haven't been to church for a long time. I don't remember that. I've heard about it, but what's that got to do with our problems today? Christ died for you. Yeah, thank you. I believe in him. But what's that got to do with the fact that my son is in prison? Or that I don't have enough money to pay my mortgage? Or what's that got to do with my life? I have a girlfriend. I know in my heart I shouldn't have that girlfriend, but I have that girlfriend. I know that. What's that got to do with my... It has everything to do with it. Because if he brought you out of Egypt to bring you into the promised land, then he wants you to have the promised land and not be slaves under these people groups that are oppressing you. You're to have victory over them. So Gideon has... There's a process for him in his mind. There's something that's going to happen in the story that's going to help him a lot and use him. And he says here, verse 11, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak, terebinth at Ophrah." What's the angel of the Lord? But it's a phrase in the Old Testament for Christ, the Messiah. Why is he called an angel? Because he appears and disappears. You can see him as in a body, in a form, as a man, or as the angel of the Lord, but there's something supernatural because he appears and disappears, but he's also like a man because Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He wrestled with him, and the angel of the Lord said, "Let me go, let me go." And Jacob said, "No, I will not let you go." He had him in a hold, perhaps. He had him. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So you see Christ in the Old Testament appearing, disappearing, interacting, relating, caring. They met Abraham in Genesis 18, and the angel of the Lord told Abram, it was actually the name is Yahweh there, he told Abram, your wife will have a child. These appearances are important because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he appeared to Gideon, and this fellowship is fascinating to read. Look at verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of courage. Gideon said to him, oh, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this befallen us? Where are all his wondrous works of which our fathers told us? Where? What's going on? Why? Oh, sir, if the Lord is with us, this is the Lord under the oak tree talking to Gideon. And Gideon is now responding to him. And it's dawning on Gideon who he's talking to. He starts to realize, who is this person that I'm talking to? But he shares from his heart, I'll just make up a story. You know, a family divided, a man in an emergency room in the hospital, a man in a casino somewhere who's lost everything last night, somebody deeply troubled. Oh, if God is for us, why am I in this situation? If God is for us, why? He brought us out of Egypt, but look at my life. Look at my life. What do you think? God, you're telling me God is for me, but look at what I have. So this, the ministry is like this. I want you to hear this because it's true. No matter who you are or where you're at in life, there is God. And God speaks to us. And he's going to encourage you. He's going to say something to you. Recently, I heard a story about a man who was totally, totally anti-God, totally into alcohol, totally. And in one short period, his total life, he became a believer. And everything left him. It was all gone. And he was born. One of those miracle stories that you hear about. That can happen. But it isn't always like that. And let's look at this. It says, Gideon said, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Now it's coming. Gideon said to him, oh, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? He said, oh, sir. Now he says, oh, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the poorest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. You will do it by yourself. You will do it. I am with you. You will do it as one man. Oh, who am I talking to right now? What is he saying to me? Who is this? So verse 17. Gideon said, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that is you who talks with me. Do not leave here, I pray you, until I return to you and bring my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you return. Here's what it looks like. He's saying, I need a sign. Like Gideon's talking, and he says, like he's somehow believing it a little bit. Like, are you kidding? I'm going to destroy the Midianites? And the Lord is saying, yeah, you, one guy, you are going to do it. You're good. And then he goes, show me a sign. And then he says, wait right here, don't leave. I'll be back. I'm going to go get something to offer as an offering. Translation, I think he realized that he's talking to somebody who will make a difference. He's talking to somebody, is it God? I need to offer an offering. I need to give him something. I will surrender to him. I want to relate to God. I want fellowship with God. That happens when you come close to God. You start to think, how can I serve? What can I give? You start to think, what could I give up? Or what's happening in my heart is that I'm starting to love him. I'm starting to love him. I'm starting to realize maybe that God is real. Maybe that God will make a difference for me. Maybe my sorrow, my trouble, I can put it to the side a little bit and get my eyes and focus on him who has something to say to me and give to me and help me. So this is what happens, verse 18. Wait right here until I return. Then Gideon went in and prepared a kid and unleavened cakes of ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, the broth in a pot, and brought them to him under the oak and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and unleavened cakes and lay them on the rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and there flared up fire from the rock. Wait a minute. Fire and rock, they don't go together, right? But fire from the rock, and consumed the meat and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Where did he go? Did he go up to heaven? Did the angel of the Lord disappear? Did the sacrifice, the tip of the staff, poof, the fire goes up, and then Jesus Christ ascends up and vanishes. And Gideon is saying, I have met God. I met God. God talked to me. God talked to me. I hope you have that in your heart at different times in your life. It will be there. You will say, I can't explain it, but I just know when it started, it wasn't clear to me, but now it's getting clearer to me. And let's say we are American Christians, and I've got to say that I am concerned that there are a great number of us, without judging anybody, but just thinking about the condition of the church in general, that we are like Gideon before he meets the Lord. He does know they came out of Egypt more than 100 years ago. He does know that. He is a believer, but why is he so much down? Why is he so nervous? Why is he so anxious? Why is he so afraid? Why is he so troubled? And I'd like to say to all of us, remember the God that brought you out of Egypt and saved you is the God that will also give you victory over the Midianites. And when they say, go back in your cave, you say, I'm not going in my cave. You're going in the cave. I'm not going back into the cave. I don't live there. I'm in charge. God gave us this land. This is our land. We're in charge. God has called us. God sent us into this land. That God gave it to us by promise. This is our land. This is our life. I'm not going back into a hole. You can. I'm not. I'm not going back into a hole. I'm not afraid. I have the Spirit of truth. We have a vision to reach the bring the gospel into parts of the world. We're not afraid of Islamic, Hindu, Buddhist, communist, anything. Any ism, anything, ourselves and in our culture. We're not afraid of our culture, that we live in it. We are not of it. We are in it with a ministry that's needed to tell the people around us that God did not send us into this country, that we would be down. He sent us into the world so we would have life and joy and peace and authority and prayers and love and grace and forgiveness. That's what happened. To make it shorter, I've kept you long enough, but after this happened, look at verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, like you are God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto you, fear not, you will not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And on the story goes. Awesome story. The main point is, I think we made it, and it is, God did not save you to run afraid and be a victim of your own bad decisions. We are. But even then, let's listen to what he has to say. You are more than a conqueror. I am for you, not against you. My grace is sufficient. I have sinned, yes. My grace will not stop. I will forgive you of your sin. But I've sinned again, yes, but my grace will not stop. I am the God of all grace. And my grace will teach you not to sin, Titus 2:10. My grace will teach you to live a new life and a new identity and an ability that comes from God to your heart and to your mind. Amen. Would you pray with me? Yes, Lord, thank you for your Son. He did it all. Way more than we could ever imagine. But you that spare not your own Son, will you not with him freely give us all things? There's not a sin in this room that could not be forgiven by God and taken away. Immediately, if you confess, just say to God what it is in your heart is between you and God. He forgives you. He empowers you. He says, "I am for you." If he gave his Son for us, who could separate us from the love? What could overcome us if he gave us his Son? Let's be simple, weak people that are strong in you. We are weak in ourselves, but we are strong in your grace, strong in faith. We are people of the Spirit. We are living by your words, that you are for us and not against us. Build us up in the faith. Fill us with your Spirit every day. Anoint us with your freshness, that we would see your face sometimes. Maybe many, many see your face and be changed from glory to glory. And put all our trust in you, Lord. Bless our lives this fall, our weeks, our months. Keep us. Deliver us. Maybe someone here, you have a stubborn sin in your life, some kind of stubborn attitude or a stubbornness in your heart. But just say to God, bring it to God, and He forgives you, He empowers you, He equips you, He makes you capable, He blesses you, He calls you by name, He liberates you, He helps you always, never fails. Lord, in Jesus' name, anyone, just speaking to all of you, anyone, come to Jesus as you are. Come to Jesus and be saved. Repent of your own ways and put your trust in Him by faith. Come on, by faith. Say to Jesus, I believe you. In Jesus' name, amen.